tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Welcome along to the second hour of Tip Today. One of our listeners saying to us on WhatsApp, Fran, I am completely at sea where the affordable housing bill is concerned. I don't blame you in the least. I spent quite a while, I was just chatting in fact to Doc about this, I spent quite a while last night going through the detail in as much as there is detail there. And, you know, I came out of it this morning with more questions than answers. And certainly there's a lot more information to be filled in along the way where this is concerned. But anyway, it has everybody talking, so maybe that's a good thing. This is Maternal Mental Health Awareness Week. It's a week-long campaign dedicated to talking about mental illness while pregnant or indeed after having a baby. Local GP nurse in Clonmel and the proprietor of Resilient Emotions, Tara Whelan, joins me now. Tara, good morning to you.
Good morning, Fran. How are you?
I'm very well indeed, and thank you for coming on with us today. You have a special interest in this, Tara. I presume mainly because you had a personal experience with perinatal mental health.
I did indeed. And it's definitely a big passion of mine, just getting awareness out there for women and parents who may be struggling. But my own, I suppose, personal experience with it was during my first pregnancy, I had what I would call a perinatal trauma. So the birth itself was actually a traumatic birth, but I didn't perceive it as trauma. But the after effects were. So my baby at 10 days old got septicemia and almost died. I found him lifeless. Yes. In his Moses basket. So at the time, I suppose I didn't deal with the trauma of that event, because totally I was unaware. So progressed on, and he bounced back, he was fine, and we were all fine. There was a lot of other stuff going on around that time, that the trauma of that event kind of carried on over 10 days. But when he was 4 months old, I was 6 weeks pregnant again, unplanned. So this is where everything kind of turned. So I went into kind of denial about being pregnant, you know, very fearful of accepting the fact that I was pregnant again, so feeling after such trauma.
Yes.
And, you know, I had this internal belief created in my mind that, you know, I wasn't a good enough mother, that I missed how sick my baby was. So I had all them thoughts going on, and I was busy at the time. We were moving house here, myself and my husband, and Owen was only, you know, small baby, so kind of got on with things until I got to 34 weeks pregnancy, in the second pregnancy, and I just went into a really, really dark place quite suddenly. Now, there was kind of thoughts coming into my head every now and then of, oh my God, how am I going to cope with two babies? You know, you weren't a good enough mother the first time around, you know, you couldn't breastfeed. You know, the delivery was hard, you missed how sick he was, all these thoughts kept coming along, and then I was like, what am I going to do with two babies? How am I going to cope? But I was totally unaware of what was wrong at the time, and in hindsight, it was kind of a trauma response. So the thoughts became quite suicidal.
Oh my God.
Yeah, very suddenly. I suppose the symptoms, and this is what I want to get across to women, I was obviously having them dark thoughts, the internal beliefs that I've just described. You know, you can think beliefs that aren't good for you, and create feelings around them. But I was waking up in the night time, like with a really, really heavy feeling in my chest, just a really dark, impending feeling. It was awful. And just like I would wake up crying and just really horrible feeling in my heart, like that's where the pain was coming from, and crying. And my husband didn't know. He had no clue. And
so, did you deliberately hold this to yourself, Tara? Did you?
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of the problems are. Sometimes you can be unaware or you can be unaccepting. So I think it might have been a mixture of both. Like I was unaccepting of the feelings, fearful of them. and also unaware. I remember at the time, like, Googling up everything, like, you know, hormones leading to suicidal thoughts in pregnancy. I Googled everything I could possibly think of, and nothing showed up. Nothing. I got no answers at that time. But anyway, I phoned a friend because I was really, you know, concerned. Mm. And, you know, she turned up on my door and pulled me out of that. But moving on from that then, I had awful feelings of guilt and shame for having them thoughts and for feeling like that I could never really shift. And when you have them feelings, it can bring you down into, you know, quite a low mood.
And I mean, when I hear about what happened to you within such a short space of time, I mean, two pregnancies, yeah. The danger with your first child, moving house, all of these. I mean, when you look back on it now, weren't you amazing to come through any of that, really, when you think about it, you know?
Absolutely. And that's it. Like, I really want to, I suppose, sit at home to parents who may be struggling, both men and women, because, you know, it is both their journeys. At that time, all I was experiencing was really negative thoughts and emotions.
Mm.
And, like, emotions, as I say, they're like magnets, and they attract thoughts from the same kind of energy or wavelength.
Yes.
But when you're in that negative space, it's so easy to attract negative thoughts. And as I say, you get into this loop of, like, thinking, and then thinking, feeling.
And can I ask you, Tara, before your first pregnancy, were you vulnerable in any way? Were you prone to depression or anything like that?
Nothing. Oh, my God. If I was to think back about my time then, you know, happy, carefree, no worries in life. God, the only thing you'd be worrying about was planning your holiday for September and could you lie in long enough on a Sunday?
And this is the part of the issue. I mean, this hits people like you then like a ton of bricks.
It came out of absolutely nowhere and I wasn't expecting it, definitely not. So, you know, I really do think parents need to kind of look out for each other and be aware, you know, if one of them is struggling. Because when you're latching on to these thoughts and feelings, you can really make the situation worse and you just can't see the wood from the trees. And if, you know, true awareness of, like, listening to people talking about the signs and symptoms and you accept what's happening, you know, to you at that time and just kind of lean in and move on beyond the fear to seek support, you will bounce back more resilient like I did. This was literally like traumatic growth for me. I have used this now to, you know, help other people to recognize some of the symptoms.
And, you know, the old, particularly a phrase around casual, are you back to yourself now, so
absolutely
to speak, Tara? You are?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, 110%.
Right, but you're still able to look back and examine this and you know, use it as education, indeed, for particularly, I would imagine, for first-time mothers and for young mothers.
Yeah, well, I went on to study trauma and trauma therapy, and then I combined it with traumatic birth recovery work that I learned as well.
Mm.
So I just blend in, like, a technique called healing techniques, which is a trauma therapy and traumatic birth recovery work. And just look after people who have had traumatic birth experiences. Somebody's had perinatal trauma, perinatal anxiety, or just low mood and depression. And trying to guide and support them.
Very good. And a week like this, I mean, it's very important then, isn't it, in terms of putting the spotlight on this? Because lots intrigues me about your story, but particularly is that you felt you had to keep it to yourself.
And that's what happens. Like, I suppose people keep it to themselves because, like, there is barriers to accessing the support. Like, number one, the stigma of mental health.
Mm.
You know, and that's why I call it. It's like it's your emotional well-being. And as I said, emotions are just feelings, and you attach thoughts to them.
Mm.
So it is about your emotional well-being, and we need to look after our emotional well-being just like our mental and physical well-being. It's all the same. You know, physical well-being is the same as our mental and emotional well-being. But sometimes what happens is when you're in that situation, you might minimize the condition or symptoms, or you might be not sure or unaware of what's going on. And I think that was it with me. I thought it was a hormone imbalance. I was really trying to figure out, get an answer, and I couldn't get the answers. Or some women just feel that they're not bad enough. they might fear that their child might be taken away from them. That's a really, really serious fear that women have, and that's kind of what keeps them. Or they mightn't have support at home. You know, they mightn't have that push for support. And, you know, on, as I said before, just on accepting of the feelings.
Right. A phrase I've always had problems with is the baby blues. Because the sound of it is almost benign, Tara, if you know what I mean, when it can have the most profound effect on women.
And that's, yeah, sometimes people can get confused, or women can get confused. Like the baby blues, you know, that happens to the majority of us, and it can last for up to 2 weeks. And, you know, you might come home feeling kind of overwhelmed and tearful and just a bit emotionally imbalanced, okay? But that should fade off after 2 weeks.
Yes.
And if it's not, that's when you need to kind of, as I say, lean into it, figure out what's going on, why are you feeling this way? Because you could be going down the road of perinatal anxiety or postnatal depression. And both of them, or it could be birth trauma symptoms. So it depends on, you know, what your birth story was. You know, if that was traumatic, well, a woman's birth story is very, very important. Because it colours how she transitions into parenthood. Like, was it a really good, empowering birth story, or was it a traumatic one where she feels broken coming into her parenting experience or transition into motherhood? So if she had a traumatic birth story, that needs to be listened to, and it needs to be heard and validated before she can move on, because that could cause birth trauma symptoms.
Another word you used that troubled me greatly was shame.
Yes. If somebody has postnatal depression, they can have an awful lot of... I suppose the difference between them all is, like, postnatal depression tends to be thought about by a lot of thoughts and feelings. And, you know, a woman could feel, you know, very sad and helpless or hopeless. We have no feelings of joy, be tearful a lot of the time, but they generally have an awful lot of feelings of guilt and shame. And when they have these feelings of guilt and shame, that really, really keeps them dragged down into low mood. And to come out of that, they really do need support and guidance. You know, they need to have a lot of self-compassion to pull themselves out of that. But
yeah, I think Hollywood has an awful lot to answer for, because we were chatting about this in the office earlier on, Tara. You know, where you see this image of the mother, and there's a little bit of pushing. She's handed this perfect baby, and she's in perfect shape. And next you see her breastfeeding, and everything's wonderful. And then they go home, and all is happy ever after. The experience can be polar opposite to that, of course.
Absolutely, yeah. Society is definitely saying a stereotypical, you know, it's putting a stereotypical lens on women, like to come out, to appear to be coping all the time and finding the transition like effortless, to be jumping back into their free bum jeans. But this leaves the parents with a totally unrealistic expectation of mothering and parenthood.
Right.
Because the transition is and the shift, it can be quite difficult.
And of course, if we add COVID into the mix of this, I mean, yesterday there was that image of, I'm not sure if you saw it, it went viral, of the soon-to-be dad waiting outside of the maternity hospital for more than 7 hours while his partner was due to give birth. She was obviously inside. She wasn't getting the kind of support necessary. I mean, it makes it all the more difficult to be a mom in COVID times.
Absolutely. I just don't see any sense in it. Like, next week we'll be all able to get our hair done and our nails done and eyelashes and a massage. But yet, if you're delivering your baby, your husband can't be there for more than an hour or two. It makes no sense. And if a woman doesn't feel supported in her birthing experience, that's when trauma occurs. So the aftermath of this is going to be absolutely horrendous for both mum and dad. It's two people created this baby, and two people should be there for that experience, supporting each other. That's what parenting is.
And, you know, for a lot of fellas, and I've made this point loads of times, I feel we're a bit of a nuisance when we're in the delivery room, because we're kind of in the way in some way, and I'm not sure how much help we actually are. But are you saying to me it is important that a partner is there?
It's very important, yeah. And it's very important if a... you know, your partner is the person that you trust most. And sometimes in delivery, if things go wrong, you can actually lose your voice. And that's what happens to some women, you know, in a bad birthing experience. They can lose their voice, they can feel disempowered. And you need your partner there to be that support, if they can be your voice. And they can be your advocate and support you and ask for what you need, because you've already discussed it beforehand. They know what your wants and desires are.
That's very interesting. And it's important to know that you have control as well, to a certain degree, when you're there, in terms of what it is you want.
Yeah, and it's the lack of control and that feeling of helplessness is what drives on that feeling of trauma.
I'm conscious there may be, pregnant women listening to us this morning, or the partners of pregnant women. If they tend to be feeling maybe anxious or a little distressed or traumatised in some way, what's your advice to them today, Tara?
I suppose to recognise for the different symptoms first. Like, birth trauma symptoms are different to, like, perinatal anxiety and postnatal depression. And really quickly, like, perinatal anxiety is more of that feeling of feeling unsafe. And the woman could have like these catastrophizing thoughts, anxious driven thoughts, really constantly on edge. She might be excessively designed to control her environment, just constantly worrying about the future, or that feeling of panic. It's a really kind of hypervigilant feeling, unable to relax. And then the woman who's postnatal depression can just feel like sad, hopeless, as I said before, no feelings of joy. And that feeling of guilt and shame, loss of interest in her baby, or loss of appetite. But the woman with post-birth trauma or perinatal trauma could have more feelings of more intrusive symptoms, like having flashbacks or nightmares, or just kind of reliving the experience of the event. Might be avoiding appointments at the hospital, avoiding maybe smears and with her GP. She might feel very angry towards what happened, might have feelings of shame, fear and anger, or blame for herself for what happened, or blame to others. And again, these all intertwine. So it is very important that the person gets the right help and support. So like, they can speak to the public health nurse, you know, if she's coming in to visit them, to do the baby check, GP, at the 6-week check, you know, just to mention it. And, you know, even for GPs to ask the question, you know, how was your birthing experience? That's very important.
You'd imagine it would be a question that, you know, would automatically be asked, but I guess it isn't. Could I recommend your own website as well, which I think, by the way, is fantastic?
Oh, thank you.
And it's a mine of information. Would you just tell people how they could get on to that, Tara?
Yeah, it's resilientdevotions.com. And I just look after kind of perinatal emotional well-being. But also, you know, people can go to the GP nurse, their midwife. There's loads of people looking after birth trauma, which is separate to, you know, what the HSE would use. They have the GP now can refer any woman on to the HSE specialist perinatal mental health pathway. So there is a pathway for that.
Right.
But if somebody has birth trauma, they do need. It's more of a psychological injury, so they do need, like, birth trauma work, EMDR, CBT for trauma, or healing techniques, which is what I do, 3-step recovery. But also, a woman needs to look after her physical health. Like, some women may need postpartum physio. If they're leaking urine a couple of weeks or two or three months after it, that's not normal either. But one thing people are not aware of, and I want to get this little bit of information out. There is counselling for both parents with VHI and Leela, and it's called, and Nurture Health are running that. So Nurture Health do offer counselling to parents, both the husband and wife, if they are suffering from perenatal anxiety and depression and need support with that.
So there is help out there, Tara. One of our listeners is on to say, Fran, it's a breath of fresh air to hear a discussion about birth trauma. I suffer quite badly with postnatal depression after having my little boy. Thank God he was healthy and well, but I didn't mentally come out of the birth as well as I had thought. About 2 months after having him, my family sat me down and tried to explain that I just was not myself anymore. It's great to listen to this morning, as it is so prevalent and very little talk about it. So that kind of sums it up really, Tara, doesn't it?
It absolutely, yeah, it does. And I could talk about it till the cows come home. There is so many different layers to it, Fran. It's unbelievable. And men, like, you know, dads can have birth trauma. You know, they can have vicarious birth trauma. They can witness and be vicariously traumatized by the birth, and they do need support too. So if, you know,
Certainly would find an issue talking out about that, because we feel like fools. Because if we are in the room, in the labour room, I mean, it's the women doing all the work. And if we have feelings, then we tend to definitely keep them to ourselves and saying that, you know, we don't have the right to say, well, look, I'm traumatized by this or whatever, you know?
See, it's very funny because, like, the woman could be going through that labour and perceive it as fine and safe and nothing was wrong. Like, birth trauma is how the woman perceives her birth and how she feels about the birthing experience. But the husband could be looking at it and seeing it from a totally different lens and fearing that his wife might die at any moment or his baby might die. You know, but the woman might feel, you know, she's being looked after by the healthcare staff and the medical staff and trust them. But he's looking at it from his lens, and that's when the trauma occurs.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting. We all should be blooming while talking. If we all communicated more, Tara, there'd be an awful lot less hassle, wouldn't there?
There would. And if people just accept feelings and emotions and thoughts as that's all they are, you know, instead of fearing the fear of, like, a mental diagnosis or a mental illness, you know, we're all just feeling things. We're human beings having human experiences, and we're always going to have them. And if we just lean into them and accept them and just go and get the support that we need, because we are the foundations as parents for these little babies coming into the world and our families, and we need to be right physically, mentally and emotionally. We have to be right.
Tara, it was most interesting to talk to you today, and thank you for that. And I'm glad you're well, and I'm glad your family is well too. It's resilientemotions.ie if you want to have a look. There's some very, very fine information on there. Thanks, Tara. Thank you
so much, Fran, for the opportunity this morning.
You're very welcome. Good morning to you. That is Tara Whelan speaking to us there. What do you think about that? 1800-938-007. The text and WhatsApp 083-311-3311. Okay, some people are looking for Tara's own number. What I'll do is I'll get Doc to make a call to you and put you in touch. Is that okay? Well done to Tara, it says, on speaking out on this topic. She is a fantastic nurse as well, says one of our listeners. So that's obviously somebody who knows Tara personally. We'll take a break. Back in a moment.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry. In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Time out.